morning, but we were going to be sleeping out of heaven with Todd Williams. Front number 44, Victor Museum, special day for here at the church. We welcome everybody and pray for the visitors this morning to the next. We're running the song first, and that's left the horn. Bless us, Rose, with Victor.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Keith. Thank you, Sister Shirley, for you playing this morning. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of junk down here, I guess is the way I'll call it, and I think everybody has gotten it, but it's good to see everybody out tonight, today, and I hope that you've had a blessed week. I hope everything is done well for you this week. I know that's asking a lot. Most of us these days have a little bit of a problem one time or another during the week, whether it's a little bit of a cold or whether it's some boss or somebody doing something around us. Might even just be traffic. We have something. But the thing about it is when we turn it over to God, we can be blessed in the smallest details. And that's one of the things that we all ought to look at, is being just blessed. Looking at what's good and what God has given us today and throughout the past days. That's what we should look at, is those things there, is how good God has been to us. It is easy for everybody to look, well, it's been a terrible week, I did all of that. But what about that blessing that you got earlier in the week? Maybe it was something simple as just somebody said, "You sure do look nice today." Did somebody do that? Or did somebody just say, "You did help me. You helped me just by saying that." We ought to always remember how good God is to bless us from time to time, even in the very smallest ways. But we as human beings, we have a tendency. Look at, well, this was terrible, that was terrible, that was bad, you did wrong, they did me wrong, you know the stories. Let's put all of those things aside today. As you see, this is a special day for our church today. We observe the Lord's Supper twice a year, is what we do here at this church. The Bible doesn't give us a stipulation as to how often we should, but we observe it twice in a year. I know some churches just do it once. I know churches that do it 4 and 5 times a year, and there are churches that will do it just about every month. But the thing about it is, this is a special time for us as a church to remember. That's what it's all about, is remembering what Jesus did for us. You know, when we look at our sacrifices today as to what we have done for God today, probably every one of us would say one thing. Well, I came to church. Compare that with what Jesus did that you might be saved. Now, I'm not going to get into all the facts about him being falsely accused. I'm not going to get into all the facts, how he was hung on the cross and how he bled and how he gave his body and how all of those things and then dying. We know those things, right? Compare that to your sacrifice today. I want us to remember today Jesus. Is what I want you to do. I want you to remember Jesus. In a few minutes, we're going to get into our service a little bit more in just a minute. I do want to make a comment about this past Wednesday night. We had Brother Mike Reed to come in. He is one of the preachers that has been going to Guatemala and Guatemala City in particular as mission work. And he came and gave us a presentation on that work, and all that were here other night, and I think we had about 50 to 60 people that were here, seemed like everybody got a great blessing out of what they heard there, and about the different people that they're finding that were saved already, and those that's already been saved. But one of the great things that I thought he kept doing was he kept asking you to pray for those people that were not saved there. He had different ones on his heart. He showed pictures of them even and said, "Pray for this one. They haven't been saved as yet. They're seeking the Lord." Some had not had quit coming to the mission work, but he said, "Pray for them." And that's what I want you to do today, in remembrance of these things. It's good for us to come into the house of the Lord today and that we pray. Now, we've already had a lot of prayer requests, and I need to back up just a second and say we have thought that since this is a special day as far as the Lord's Supper being given out to our church members, that it would be a good thing just to let the children's church go until next week. So we're going to move past the children's church, and we're going to go on with our regular service today. And I want us to keep in mind all of this. And I want us to instruct our children as to the purpose of this Lord's Supper today in this service. But before we go into that part of the service today, I want us to be prayerful. Number one prayer for me. You pray for me. This is always one of the services that, as pastor, I feel like that I've got to get right. Yeah, baptism, I've got to get it right. But this one is a day of remembrance, and I want you to pray that the Lord will help me to present it the way that it needs to be presented. Number two, I want you to pray that you'll get it right. This is not something that we take haphazardly. It should not be, I'll put it that way. A lot of times our young people may think, well, I just get to take out of that bread and fruit of the vine like the adults does for the first time or a second time. But I want you to think about what you're doing today and what it says to examine ourselves, for us to get our hearts right with God today. Yeah, you're saved. Yeah, you're ready to go to heaven, but there's a place where you get your heart and mind ready to observe this today. And I want you to do that today. Thirdly, I know we have a lot of prayer requests, as I said. We had several during Sunday school. Does anybody else have a prayer request? We always need to remember those that are in need. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Carla. Let's do remember Brother Landy in our prayers. Somebody else? Lord, help. Let's do remember Eddie. I thank her often in my prayers. Somebody else? Let's pray she'll get saved. Somebody else? I appreciate each and every one being here today, and I just ask that we can all be about God's business today and that we can ask the Lord to help us today in this service. We want to call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. And we just ask that you would please pray for this service. Brother Stewart, if you would you start our prayer, please?
Thank you.
offering at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Shirley. Thank you, Brother Key. Thankful for each and every one that has sung today. I appreciate your voices today, and I appreciate each of your attendance today. I appreciate also all of our visitors today. I appreciate you being here today. We're glad that you came to be with us here today at Murfreesboro. And we just ask that you continue to pray for our church. And I pray the Lord will burden you for this church, is what I hope he'll do. And that you'll feel the need of praying for it. And just glad to see each and every one that is here today. Today's service will be a little bit different. Usually we dismiss with a prayer, but with the way that the Lord gave instruction as far as the Lord's Supper is concerned, it says that after they had partaken of the Lord's Supper, that they sang a hymn and went out. So today at the conclusion of our Lord's Supper, we will sing a hymn, and we will exit the church is what we'll do. There'll be no closing prayer. There'll be no announcements. I will, however, make just a few announcements. Remember our services on Wednesday night for our visitors. We'd love to have you to come and be with us. We'd love to have you in our Bible study. We're studying in the book of John right now. And I hope that you will be prayerful for that. That's in the adult class. We have classes for all ages, and we'd love to have you to come and be a part of those classes is what we would love you for you to do. We have meal at 5:30 and time of fellowship, and it's really good. It's probably the one place I've learned more about our members than anywhere else, and that I get to talk with everybody. And so I'm always finding out new things about everybody. So it's a good time of fellowship. So come and be with us. I do want to make one other reminder. On the 26th of this month, the church is hosting the Jubilee, is what we call it. It is a fellowship among our churches. And we will have that on the 26th. We have a meal at 5 o'clock, I believe it is, 5 o'clock. And we're hosting a whole big group of churches is what we're doing. Now, the food is catered. Desserts are appreciated from everybody. If you can bring a dessert, that'll be fine. If you can't, don't worry about it. But we do need people to help serve the tables. In other words, handing out food. And so anybody that can come and help out with that, get with Sister Cheryl. There's a sign-up sheet out there on the table, so keep that in mind also. Is there any other announcements that I'm forgetting? Yeah, church tonight, excuse me. Church tonight at 5 o'clock. Brother Jackie Kemp. I went blank again. Brother Jack, my memory always kicks in, doesn't it? Brother Jackie Kemp will be preaching tonight. And he is a good preacher. You'll enjoy him if you'll come and listen to him tonight. With that being said, anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart or anything that we need to talk about before we go any further? Okay. All right. Good to know that too. Anything else? If you will, turn to the 26th chapter of Matthew is where we're going to start at. If you want to put your fingers on the 12th chapter of Exodus, you can do that also. I'm going to have two places to read today, so keep that in mind. Starting out with the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, I'm trying to give everybody a chance to get there. Brother Monty made a statement the other night in his message up at Old Union. He said, I've tried to wait to let all the pages get done turning. He said, I want them to learn as they read and read along. I'd never really thought about it in that way. So I'm listening today. But turn your Bibles to the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're going to read three verses here for just a start. And it says in verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Now, this is the basis for our Lord's Supper. Many people call it communion. And what it means by communion, it is the communion is a commune is coming together. And what it is meant to be is it is a communion with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It is meant for us to come together in this. And what he says about this, and he doesn't use it in this text, Matthew does not, but with all the other gospels that and the other places that it talks about this service, it says one particular phrase, "It do this in remembrance of me." That is the purpose of us coming together and for remembering this service, this blood, this body that was given for us. Now, I made the statement last Sunday, and I should have known better than to make the statement, because last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and I said, usually you would preach about the crucifixion, and I did mention it, but I felt like it was needful for us to remember who Jesus was last week for that service. Now, I'm not really going to preach on the crucifixion that much today, but I want you to think about where this all started. I want you to remember where it starts from today. And what I mean is, what brought about this service? Why did Jesus set this up? This is one of our ordinances of our church. It is a commandment of God, of the Lord. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It was not an if so or maybe so. He said, "Do this." That is a commandment. So when Jesus was doing this, what was the basis of this service? Probably most of you think about this and understand that this was a particular time of year right before his crucifixion. It was a particular time that it was a time of remembrance also. And this time can be brought out when you look over at the 17th verse. And it says, "And the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" So the basis of this night was set upon the Passover itself. And because of that, they came together to take the Passover. Now, I want you to notice that he does say the first day of the feast. Most of the people of our day and age, they think Passover was just a one-day feast. Did you actually know that it was done over a seven-day period? It was a seven-day period that they observed the Passover. Now, the original Passover, and we're going to get into this just a little bit, and I'm going to get into that in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, and I want you to read with me, if you will, in the 12th chapter, in the 5th verse. He says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs and his purities thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Then thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. One last verse. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep this it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and ye shall keep it a feast by all the ordinances forever, is what the Bible says. Read in verses 5 through 14 of the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. Now, this is the implementation of the Passover feast. And you might say, well, just what does that have to do with the Lord's Supper? Well, it was the basis or the foundation, you might say, of our Lord's Supper. Now, in our Lord's Supper, you notice that in the prior two verses that we read out of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, it only mentions two parts of it. And it said the unleavened bread and then the fruit of the vine is what it calls it. Now, in the Passover, you notice that it had a lamb. And then he said that for them to take that lamb and to slay it, and to take the blood and take that blood from that lamb, and then to put it on the doorpost and across the lintel is what he did, what he told them to do. And this was the plague, the final plague that the children of Israel was going to see upon the nation of Egypt at that time. Now, they had already seen 9 different plagues come upon Egypt, and Pharaoh had failed to allow the children of Israel to go free. And because of that, the 10th plague was harsher than any other of the plagues, because this one took human life. The others caused suffering upon each and every one that was there in Egypt. Now, I will make a distinction here, because God made a distinction. Did you realize that if with each one of those plagues that had been before, that they did not touch the children of Israel? They didn't touch them because they were God's chosen people at that time. And because of that, God showed a difference in them in that day. But especially here on this 10th plague that was coming unto them, if they did not follow the rules of this on this night, somebody was going to die in that household. And this death that was going to come upon this nation at that time, it was going to affect every household. Because there would be a firstborn in every house, whether it was father or mother or a son or a daughter, it was going to affect every household in the nation of Egypt at that time. And because of this, God said there's only one way that there will be a way of remedy, a way of which that God would not send his death angel into that house. And that was by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I want to call to your attention. I've used this a lot lately as to the words, how that John the Baptist, when he was there at the Jordan River, and the first time that he saw Jesus in that day, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You see, Jesus was that Lamb of God. He was the one that was going to be that sacrifice. The book of Revelation tells us, I believe it's in the 5th chapter, where it says that he was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Every time there was a sacrifice made from the foundation of the world, in the first, and I believe, was there at the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned there in the garden, and God clothed them with skins. That meant there was an animal that had to die, and I'm of the opinion that it was probably a lamb or sheep one that gave his life for them to be covered, is what the scripture tells us. But from the very foundation of the world, he was that lamb. He was the one that was going to give his life. It was just as if it was Jesus himself. Now, from the time of Adam all the way up to the time that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, those people were looking for a Messiah, as it's called in the Hebrew language. He was looking for someone to come to be the ultimate and all Savior for all of them. There was nothing about the law that could truly save. The law was imperfect in that way. It could show the sins of each and every one, and that was its purpose. It was to show the people of Israel their sin. Many people today says, well, it doesn't bear for us today, but it's still good for us to keep the law of God and to try to be without sin. But the fact of the matter is, no one has ever kept the complete law of Moses except for Jesus himself. Now, if you go back to our reading lesson, notice what he says in verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it of the sheep or the goats. Now, notice it says that it is a lamb without blemish. I want you to understand what it meant to be without blemish in Jesus' part today. To be without blemish would mean there would be no marks on his body. Would that not be true? Would there be any marks on the inward part of his body? No, there would not be any marks anyway. It was to be a creature. The lamb itself was not to be one that was sick. And if you'll notice in a reading lesson, that they put it up for 4 days is what they did. And that was to make sure that it was healthy, that it had no kind of disease about it. So when we look at Jesus today, as comparison to that lamb, we see that Jesus came into Jerusalem and he was put before the people of Israel in that day. He marched into the city of Israel, of Jerusalem, I should say. And when he came in, they pronounced him to be king of all kings, is what they did. The people of Israel and of Jerusalem, they cried out, "Hosanna, king of all kings," unto him. They glorified him as being the Son of God. He was presented unto God in that day and to them as their Savior. When the people are there in Egypt, they presented, they took out their lamb, they separated him in that day, and they put him in a stall to where that he could show forth the goodness of him. They looked for no broken bones. They looked for nothing about him that would be impure in any way. And then on the 14th day, they slew that lamb is what they did. Now, if you'll notice in our reading lesson today, it talks about him in this way, the comparison that is given on this day. And he said, and they shall take the blood of it, and they shall strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house, wherein they shall eat it. Now, I want you to notice something today. There is something as a distinction today about this supper today, this meal that we are taking. It's not a full-fledged meal, is it? It's not a meal in which that we will be filled to the full. There are those who have, in times past, have taken it and made a full-fledged meal out of it. But it was meant to be a part. It was meant to be something to take of them. You'll notice when that Jesus was presenting to them there in Matthew, that he said that he took bread and blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them, to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." He did not give them the entire loaf. He did not give them enough to fill them up physically. But the idea was for them to take in Jesus completely into their selves. Now, when that an individual is to the place where that they need a Savior, they need the Son of God is who they need. When that they seek out Jesus for salvation, there comes a place in their time, in their life, where that they must take in Jesus. If you'll remember, in the 6th chapter of John, as we used it last a couple of weeks ago, and I don't have it marked, but give me just a moment to get there, where it said, in that day, he said, "I am the everlasting." He said, "I am the bread of life." He said, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that no man eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." Now, I want you to get a distinction here. I am in no wise saying that this bread that you'll take in today is going to give you salvation. It will not. All it is a piece of bread. It's a type of flour and water that is mixed together. It does not change from that to the body of Christ. But we are to take it as if it was his body. We are to consume him in. Now, the thing that I want you to get into your mind today, again, is also what he says about the blood that was there, the drink that they that he gave them, the fruit of the vine, as he calls it. He said, and he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's house." I wanted you to see that he called it the fruit of the vine there. He didn't call it his blood other than saying, "This is my blood, the fruit of the vine." Not that it had any saving power, but I want you to see something today. There is saving power in the blood of the Lamb. Going back to our lesson in Exodus today, he said that they were to strike it upon the doorpost, is what he said, putting it over the lintel. And he said, this is the sign. Now, what is your sign today? Your sign today is that you've been saved by the grace of God. What is that? What happens when you are saved? You have the blood of Christ applied to your heart, don't you? We had the blood of Christ applied inside of us, inside of our soul. The Bible tells us that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. It makes us pure within, doesn't it? It makes us where that we are, know that we are God's children. It makes us to know that we are Jesus's brother, is what we come to know by that. The fact that we have blood applied to us, and I'm going to call you your attention, maybe our kids may have not seen this, but us older ones, and maybe some of you other, how many of you ever saw a blood compact done at one time or another? You know, where the kids would cut their fingers and they put them together and they said, we'll be blood of same blood and we're brothers together at that time. Sometimes they would cut the palms of the hand and they'd do that. Well, everybody's looking at me like I'm nuts, but I saw it. The fact of the matter is, you see, the idea was the transferring of the blood to them, and it made us brothers. You see, we didn't cut our fingers, we didn't cut our hands, but the Holy Spirit applied his blood inside of us that we got the blood on the doorpost, you might say. That the death angel cannot take us. You see, all of that was done as a figure to show the children of Israel that the Messiah was going to give his life for them. That he was going to give his blood for them. And that they needed the blood applied to the doors of their hearts. Did not Jesus say, behold, I stand at the door and knock? What is he saying to you? I want to come into you. I want to come inside of you. I want my blood to be applied to you, that you might be my brother, is what the idea was. As he did that day, I want you to notice something, and it brings out a picture to you today. For he says, and they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. That's in the 8th verse, sir. Now, a lot of times, and I had a little trouble with this for a long time. Well, why did they have to have the bitter herbs? It's never mentioned anywhere else. Especially in the Lord's Supper, it's not mentioned. Well, the bitter herbs is a bitterness, right? The unleavened bread, the Bible calls it in the, I believe it's in the 16th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, he calls it a bread of affliction, is what he calls it, is what he called it at that time. But the idea that they had here was affliction. Now, the Bible tells us a broken heart and a contrite spirit, God will in no wise turn away. Now, we usually talk about that in the form of a sinner coming to God. And it's saying, and I did, I went through the broken heart. I was contrite. I was brought low by the Spirit of God in the fact that I was a sinner in the face of God. But the affliction of the Holy Spirit was speaking unto us in our hearts, saying, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, I will give you rest. So, what about us that are saved? There's times we as saved individuals, it's good for us to be afflicted. We talked earlier about the troubles and sorrows of life that we go through, and we think that's awful. But the best affliction that any of us can go through is self-affliction. And I'm not talking about cutting. I'm not talking about beating ourselves. But us being afflicted, knowing what our own sin is. Now, there's some of you out here today that probably says, I know my spouse, I know my children, I know all about them. And I'll ask you the question, did your parents know everything you did? No. Have you ever been to that place where that you felt so guilty about your life that you had to humble yourself down and confess it to that person that maybe you had wronged? What about to God? Have you confessed to the Lord lately? I'm going to ask you something. Have you confessed to God your sin? I try to do it on a regular basis. I try to do it on a daily basis is what I try to do. Sometimes I fudge a little bit. I'm going to use that term. In other words, I don't tell him everything. He already knows it. But he likes for us to confess our sins. So our afflictions are to be understood inside of us, that we understand it's a bitterness within us that we need to go unto God. But you think about the bitterness that Jesus suffered in those final days of his life. Really, you can say all 30 some odd years, because he suffered as a human would suffer, yet without sin. Going on the cross of Calvary, he suffered there. Is that not a lot of bitterness there? He had every grounds to be bitter at me. I want you to think about that. He had every reason to be bitter at me. Why? Because he was giving his all, and what am I giving him? You see, this day is about one day, one moment, giving our all. There's a period of time in this service where we should be in bitterness. Bitterness of soul. Bitterness of wanting to get right with God. He said that they took that and they took the unleavened bread and they ate it. But the sheep, the lamb that they ate, I want you to notice something. It said he was roasted with fire. Well, how's that compared to Jesus? They didn't put him in the fire. We did. You ever been tormented so much you felt like he's burned up?
Burned out?
He was tortured. Just in the last 4 days, he was tortured. So many times. Just in that last day, people coming and saying lies about him. People coming to him and beating him in the face. Saying, if you be the Son of God, prove it. That's torture. Knowing that there was probably a part of him, I'll show you. That's what we do. You ever had somebody walk up to you and slap you? What's the first reaction? Jesus stood calmly. Jesus stood there and he suffered it for us. Not only then, but what about with his own disciples denying him? We all know how much it hurts when somebody betrays us, especially if it's a close friend, that hurts. All 12 were nowhere to be found, were they? Peter was standing yet a little ways off. He came a little closer. But when that person asked him, are you not one of them folks? No. Another one come by. Were you not one of him? No, I'm not one of them. No, I don't know the man. Another one comes by. Your speech, the way you talk, you're one of them Galileans that was following Jesus. And he cursed. That's a lot of bitterness right there, isn't it? But we are to take the fire that we roasted our Lord in and to remember him. The unleavened bread that we speak about in the scripture was something very special. Most of the bread that we have today is leavened. And what that means, it's got something put in there that's not pure. It's something to make it rise. Yeast is what we generally put in there. I think Brother Tom prepared our unleavened bread today, and there was no yeast added. It's flat. It's somewhat hard. I've seen different ones portray the bread of unleavened bread, and they'll have it maybe about that thick a lot of times, and they'll rip it apart. Many times in our communion service, it'll snap and break. I'm not sure which one is actually appropriate, but the part that is most appropriate, there's nothing unpure about it. You see, Jesus lived his life pure. No sin. There was nothing about it, him, that was unpure. Never did he back talk his parents. Never did he ever pick up something that was not his. Never did he covet anything. He always gave reverence to the Holy Father. He observed the Sabbath day. He observed every ordinance that they had in those days. And he done it for a great purpose for you and I. You see, in this purpose of this meal today, it is meant for us to remember what Jesus did. I know today that I've talked about the Passover and the basis of all of it. But it showed what Jesus was going to do. How he was going to suffer. How he was without sin. How everything went about in those days. How it brought salvation. The Lord's Supper was given to the church for a great purpose. It was given to be a remembrance. He gave it to the church. He wanted the church, those people that were baptized into the body of Christ, those people that came in and just understood what God wanted them to do in being a part of his church. And I'll say here today, if you're here today and you're not a member of this church, you're not a member of a church like this one, I want you to pray about it. Because God's got a reason for you being here today. Pray about it and see if God wants you at this body. To be a part of this body. To be a worker in his field. God's got a reason today for everything that he did. There's a lot of people who says, well, it was accident that person was there that day. There's no such thing as an accident. If sometime or another God gave you a reason to come to this church that first time he gave, there was a reason in it. Maybe you don't see the reason just yet, but he's got a reason for you being a part of this body. Today is for you to take the meal and remember Jesus. You see, as we as church members, as we take of the bread, we remember his body. When we partake of the fruit of the vine, we partake of his blood. And there's young ones that's sitting around that's probably saying, well, I'd like a taste. Could I have a bite? But it's meant for the church. It's meant for the church to take it and use it in a right manner. If the Egyptians that day, well, all these Israelites, they're taking blood out of and putting it on the doorpost. I'll just go take me a donkey over here and I'll cut him up and I'll put some blood on the doorpost. That'll be just fine, won't it? No. God didn't recognize that. God's got a special purpose in this day. You pray today. I want you to find the bitter herbs today in yourself. I want you to find the body of Christ today. I want you to find the fruit of the vine inside of yourself. I want you to take him in today, because that is the purpose of this today, is for us to remember these things. As we come together today in this service, I want you to notice that in that day, Jesus came together with his disciples. They had observed the Passover. They had killed a lamb, and they ate of that lamb. In that day, there was bread, unleavened bread. It had been, that was the custom of the day. For 7 days, they would eat unleavened bread, days of affliction. As they ate of that bread, it was to remind them of their sin, their sorrows, and of their troubles that they had went through in Egypt. We as saved individuals today, I hope that we remember what it was like to be a sinner, not saved. We are to remember that today. But there was only one remedy for us in that day, and that was the body of Christ. As Jesus took the bread, the scripture said that he broke it. When Jesus was on the cross, he took of it his body and he gave it all for those of us who would believe. He gave it for all of mankind is what he did. And we are to ever keep it in our hearts and minds about that in this day. In this day, we find that Jesus gave thanks. And I asked you to pray with me today as we give thanks for this bread. Our wise and heavenly Father, we ask your leadership as we pray, dear God, that, Lord, that we might ask the things that we should. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for your dear Son. Lord, as we tried to talk about the Lamb today, and Lord, I know it was a feeble effort today, dear God, that, Lord, I have no way of really knowing what Jesus went through. I can only read, I can only visualize within my mind. But Lord, I realized that his pain was terrible. I've never even experienced death, Lord, and I know that there'll be a day when I'll feel the sting of death. But I know in that day, dear God, that I'll just come over to be with you. In that day that he experienced death, Lord, there were so many pains. Lord, the nails, the beatings, the whippings. Oh, Lord, the hanging there upon the cross. And Lord, I look at that in such a way as, Lord, is to think about that he did it all just for me. Dear God, I pray that as we partake of this today, dear Lord, this unleavened bread that symbolizes that pure body, that, dear God, that you gave for us. Lord, I'm thankful, dear Lord, to go back to the foundations of the world when that y'all decided to make sure that we had a way back to you. You made us, Lord, where we could choose. And our forefather, Adam, dear Lord, he failed and he sinned. And thus we have sinned today, dear God. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us, dear Lord, to remember that we are sinners saved by grace. Help us, dear God, to remember that only by your Son and his agony, that, Lord, that we can even have the thoughts of going to heaven one day to be with you. Dear God, I pray that in this day of remembrance, Lord, maybe we can just visualize just for a little bit, Lord, your Son hanging upon the tree. Oh, Lord, I pray that we will take this bread in the proper way, dear God. That, Lord, we'll open up our hearts and our minds to you solely. That, Lord, that we'll put out any sin at this time from us, Lord, begging forgiveness, Lord. Lord, I pray that if there's any ought in me, dear Lord, that I can be forgiven of it, Lord. Lord, that I can do what I need to do to make sure that all things are right between me and you. Lord, I ask your leadership, dear Lord, for this congregation today. It's not an easy thing, dear God, for anyone to confess our sins. And Lord, they don't have to confess to me, for I can't forgive. But Lord, during this prayer, they can confess to you. And Lord, they can get their hearts right. That Lord, that they might remember your body in this day. Lord, please help us today in this day, time to partake of this bread in remembrance of you. Thank you, dear God, for saving our souls. Lord, we pray that many more will be saved. For, Lord, we ask these favors and blessings in thy holy Son's name, we do pray. Amen. Brother Keith, Brother Tom, would y'all please serve today? Anyone that wishes to come to the church at this time and partake of this bread, we ask you to stand. It is meant for the church members of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, but we allow those that are members of churches of like faith and order, we invite you to partake also with us today. As these brethren pass among you, we ask that you stand until you are served, and then you may partake and be seated. While you please stand at this time. The second part of that ordinance, excuse me, was the cup. the fruit of the vine, as the scripture tells us. And that fruit of the vine was to show the pureness of his blood, no sin. It said about it that he gave thanks once again and that he would pray for that. He gave thanks to pray in prayer. Let us pray. Our all-wise and heavenly Father, we again ask that you help us to pray, dear Lord. In this service, we remember the blood. Lord, I didn't talk about it as much, but I'm thankful, dear Lord, that I have the blood applied to my heart. Ooh, Lord, that's the greatest thought that I can have today. Your blood was taken from you, dear God. I know many people say it was spilled. Spilled meant an accident. It was no accident that you gave your blood. Lord, I know the blood was your life force. That's what the scriptures tells us. And that blood was evidence of your life and of your death. Dear God, as they beat you, I know that they broke the skin. Lord, I know that when they put the crown of thorns upon your head, it probably brought forth blood. Oh, Lord, as they whipped you, dear God, so unmercifully, I know it brought forth blood. Lord, as I think about these things, and I even think about how that they nailed you to the cross, Lord, that brought forth the blood that even in your death, dear God, the soldiers pierced you with his sword, and it brought forth blood and water. Oh, Lord. Lord, I know that every single drop was given for all of us, for all of mankind, dear God. And I know that there's people who say that that blood was lost there on that hill and it went down in the ground, dear God. But Lord, I find when the scripture where that Jesus brought evidence of his death to you, and that was his blood that was carried up to heaven to show. Dear God, I know that he already knew. I know you already knew that he was dying there. I know that you already knew that he gave it. But Lord, it was needful to bring forth into that place, Lord, that his spirit might bring forth his blood into our hearts. Dear God, I thank you for that blood. It's so precious, dear God, to me today, dear God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the precious thoughts of even how little it took for me. Oh, Lord, I thank you, dear God, for that precious blood today. In this service today, Lord, we remember that suffering that you gave up that blood. Lord, we remember the blood as it was given. Dear God, I pray that you will help us today as each one partakes of the blood. We take it into our system today. We take this fruit of the vine as a remembrance, dear God, of it. Not that it would save, but Lord, that we might remember, dear God, all of these things. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for each one that is here. I'm thankful for each one that has partook so far. Dear God, I pray that they've had their hearts and minds ready, dear God, to serve you today in remembrance of your dear Son. Lord, we ask these favors and blessings in thy holy Son's name. Amen. Excuse me. Brother Key. Again, we asked each of you that stood before to please stand again as the brethren pass among you and serve you as the fruit of the vine. Remember, we allow those that are not members of Murfreesboro Church to observe like we did before. At this time, would you please rise? As the first church observed this Lord's Supper, the Lord told them to do this in remembrance of Him. He didn't say every week. He didn't say every month. Or He said as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of Me. I pray that every one of you today has remembered Jesus today as you partook of this. There's some of you, I understand today, that did not feel worthy to stand, and that's fine. I pray that the next time that this is presented, you'll be where that you can. Whether you're not a member of our church or not, or maybe you're not saved, I pray that the Lord will touch your heart to where that you'll be a fit subject for the next time that we do this in remembrance of Him. As I said earlier, this service closes different because it said that Jesus told them, they sung a hymn, and then they went out into the garden. So while we sing, we'll be dismissed with this song. Brother Keith. Thank you.